Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Hockey and broadcast legend, Troy, thank you so much for taking time tonight to come back on WGN. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, John. Always a pleasure to join the show.
Thank you. I heard you and Lisa Dent yesterday, and it was a great conversation, and there was some mention in there of Chelsea Dagger. So I thought I'd throw that in there, which by the way, I think that is just one of the greatest songs that's ever been adapted to a sport ever. That whole dent, da 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 da. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
No, it really kind of just fit in nicely with what was going on. And the team had so much success. You heard that. And as a visiting team, you despised the song. And it was kind of voted as the worst goal song in the NHL. But for the only reason, because you always heard it. And it just drove people crazy because you came into the United Center and you lost. And you heard the goal song so many times.
Well, that even makes it more effective.
Exactly.
Hockey legend, broadcasting legend. Not every successful professional athlete can make the transition to a successful broadcasting career. I just need to ask you, Troy, was that something that you always planned on? Did it occur to you midway, at the end of your career? And what do you find was the most challenging part of making that transition?
You know, it wasn't something that I planned on. And if you go way back, and this is 20 plus years now, I was a commodities trader down at the Merck when I retired from the NHL. And I started doing the Blackhawks asked me if I would be interested in doing the pre, the intermission and post game show. And I mean, this is going way back. It almost, I think, was Sports Vision or whatever, whatever it was back in the day. And so I was doing that, and it was part-time. The Blackhawks didn't televise home games, so it was only the road games, 41 nights out of the year. And I started doing it, and then Dale Talon and Pat Foley had been the longtime broadcasting crew, and Dale was hired within the Blackhawks organization, I think, as the assistant general manager. So they were looking for somebody to fill that role with Pat Foley, and they asked me because I was doing, the pregame and all that stuff.
Right.
And it wasn't something that I was looking to do. And in talking to my wife, it was, it was back on the road full time and the whole, shebang kind of thing, because it was a dual feed where we did radio and TV on the road and only radio at home. And I just, my wife said, if you don't take it, you might regret it. If you take it and you don't like it, you can always quit.
True.
And so I started that, and that's, 20 plus years ago.
Yep.
And I loved it, but it wasn't something that I pursued. The hardest part was trying to, figure out as a fan and as a broadcaster, how you talk about the game to make it feel genuine to the listeners, and not being, in a position where it was kind of hard to just relate to, okay, I'm a player, but now I'm a broadcaster. I have to step back, John. And have a better perspective of the overall game rather than just seeing it from the eyes of a former player.
Well, I think that that's a valid point, but I think the fans probably would totally appreciate hearing from a former player and looking through your eyes and hearing
what your take on the game
was. I mean,
no doubt.
Troy.
I mean, that's a big part of it. For the listeners to have my perspective, but
you bet.
How to relate that to them was kind of the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't easy, but I've enjoyed it. And, my goodness, we had some great years and three Stanley Cups. And, won't complain one bit about where I've been with the Blackhawks organization and the broadcasting side of it.
You know, you mentioned television. You did television and radio. And that was one of the items that I immediately thought of when I heard about the passing of Rocky Wirtz, because years ago when I was working at a radio station here in Chicago, you know, the Blackhawks were big, but they weren't on TV. And the engineering department, there was one guy named John Husser, I'll never forget it. He would pound the console, bitching and complaining, why aren't the Blackhawks on television? I don't believe it. This went on and on and on and on. And, of course, that's one of the things, along with a few others, that Rocky Wirtz changed, right?
Yes, yes, it was. When I first came to Chicago in the early 80s, Arthur mm-hmm. Wirtz was still alive. And he firmly believed that as a season ticket holder, you had a privilege to watch the games exclusively rather than being at home and being able to watch it on your TV. And so when Arthur Wirtz passed away, Bill took over, and Bill stayed with his wishes and his beliefs of his father. And so he never put home games on TV. And it was a major decision, and it was a quick decision by Rocky when he yeah. took over to put home games on TV. Now, the first year, you had to find a media outlet that would be able to put the games on TV, because all of a sudden said, okay, you know, we're going to put games on TV. Well, where do we do it? What do we do? How does this work? So, but everything was put in place, and that was a tough decision for Rocky, because that was not kind of the belief of the Wirtz family about how they wanted to do things. So right off the bat, Rocky, you know, said, hey, listen, we're going to change things. We're going to do things differently. We're going to look at things differently, and we're going to put home games on TV. And obviously, I think that, you know, throughout these years that Rocky was in charge, when you looked at the generations that were not able to watch home games, you lost a lot of fan base, and you just really lost that contact of the young kids sitting at home with their parents and watching a home game. And all of a sudden you're seeing Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews. And, you know, you give the dad a little tug on the shirt and say, hey, Dad, I want to go down to the United Center. I want to watch these guys. And yeah. and so now you've built up this relationship with the fans and Rocky and the Blackhawks that was never there before. It was a big step for Rocky to take that.
Well, I think, you know, the thing that I got from his tenure, and it was very fortunate that his tenure also included three Stanley Cups, because, you know,
right.
Yeah. Everybody loves a winner. But other than that, what we just mentioned, he seemed to have a sense of what the fans wanted, or what the fans' frustrations with the Blackhawks had been, and maybe how can I put all this back together? You know, the televised games are the one thing, and then bringing back some players who the Chicago fans loved, but had, for whatever reason, severed their relationship with the Blackhawks, and then brought them back. I think the word was ambassadors. I think that made people feel like, wow, these are the Chicago Blackhawks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. And I will say this: when Rocky took over and hired John McDonough, one of the first things that yeah. John McDonough did was Cliff Coral and myself, because I was involved with the broadcasting at that point. We had a meeting, and he said, how do we repair the relationship between the former players? Because there wasn't a relationship with the former players, and the alumni felt neglected and not welcome in so many ways. And Rocky felt that it was so important to embrace the former players, like Stan Mikita, like Bobby Hall, Tony right. Esposito, make them feel welcome. And they created this ambassador role. And it was an absolutely fantastic idea to just embrace the past and say, listen, the past is a big part of the future and the big part of the history of everything. And that was something that Rocky took a lot of pride in. He wanted to repair, and I wouldn't call it damage, but he wanted to repair the relationship between the former players and the current players and the organization. And it was a really big step, again, that they wanted to do different. They wanted to do things differently than it was in the past. And Rocky really was a pioneer as far as stepping away from what the family beliefs were, running the Blackhawks organization right off the bat. And the Wirtz family's always been great to me, and you know, they're very, very loyal. But there was, you know, the acknowledgement that they weren't willing to spend money to be successful. And when Rocky came in, Rocky said, we're going to spend money to make money to be successful. And that's exactly what he did. They went out and they did what they needed to do. The resources were there in every facet to make sure that the Blackhawks were the model franchise. And we all know this. I mean, I think it was before Rocky was there, but the franchise, the Blackhawks were rated the worst franchise in sports, not Blackhawks, hockey. They were ranked as the worst franchise in professional sports. And it was a few quick years later that they were in the top five of professional sports and how they were run and how things were working. And that was all, you know, a part of what Rocky did, the way that he orchestrated the organization with John McDonough. You know, everything kind of fell into place. They got lucky with Patrick Kane in the draft. They picked Jonathan Toews, number third overall, when Dale Tallon was the general manager. They had Seabrook, they had Keith, they had Jalmerson, they had Corey Crawford. So they got lucky in some ways, like they did this year with the lottery with Connor Bedard, this young, phenomenal young player. But everything kind of aligned itself to turn this franchise around, and Rocky just did a phenomenal job, just an absolutely phenomenal job of what he needed to do, the recognition of where the team had failed in the past and where they needed to succeed in the future.
Very rarely do I hear someone quote an executive who had said, you have to spend money to make money. I can count on one finger the times I've heard that phrase over the years, regardless of whatever the business enterprise was.
But that was his belief. We have to change our mentality that we're not going to be a budget team. We're not going to try and save money. We're going to spend money. We're going to make Chicago Blackhawks a destination for these players. And, you know, and everything goes in cycles. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the last couple of years have been a little bit frustrating and a little bit tough for the fan base. But you understand that. I mean, because, everything does go in cycles. And the Kane and Toews era is now over. They got lucky. They got Connor Bedard. So there's going to be a new era that kicks in here. Kyle Davidson has done a phenomenal job of restocking the prospect pool. The talent that is coming into the organization in the next couple of years is going to be great. But this is all a part of, you know, the way it works. And Rocky was just was instrumental in every step of the way to where this team is now and being such a successful franchise.
We're talking to Troy Murray, Blackhawks hockey broadcasting legend here at 720 WGN, commenting on the legacy of the late Rocky Wirtz. And I'm sure you're aware that the Blackhawks today announced that there is going to be an honor, if you will, to Rocky Wirtz that's going to be, I believe, at the United Center. Is that correct?
Yes, it's going to be open to the public on the 9th at the United Center in the atrium. There's going to be a private service for friends and family on the 8th, but the 9th is going to be the open to the public. And you know what? I think so many people appreciate what Rocky has done. He was very available to the common fan. He was walking the concourse. Yeah. He was sitting in the stands.
Yeah.
And he wanted people to see him, and he wanted people to know that he was a part of this. And I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to sit in an office. I'm a part of this. I'm a fan. I want to sit in the stands. I want to enjoy the atmosphere, the entertainment. So I think it's the right thing to do for so many fans that appreciate what Rocky did and the era that Rocky took control of that was, you know, the best in the history of the franchise ever.
Well, Troy, thanks for being with us. And, you know, this is sort of a, not a subliminal thing, but if anybody ever wondered about the sincerity and the effect that Rocky Wirtz had, all they had to do was listen to you and the admiration for him in your voice, Troy. I mean, beyond TV and ambassadors and Stanley Cups, you really did well. Thank you for being with us. I appreciate it.
Well, John, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it. And, you know, for the Wirtz family, it's a very sad time.
Yes.
You know, that's life, and you move on. And I have complete faith in Danny and what he wants to do moving forward. Big loss for the Wirtz family to obviously have Rocky pass away. But, you know, everybody will move on, and you'll remember Rocky for the person that he was and what he did.
Thanks again, Troy Murray, hockey and broadcasting legend for your Chicago Blackhawks. By the way, that ceremony will begin at about 11 a.m. and will be open to the public, first come, first seating. Once completed, the United Center will remain open to fans to pay their respects to Rocky Wirtz. Fans attending the event can start doing so at 9:30 a.m. through gates 6 and 7 on the south side of the United Center. Free parking will be available in lot K, with other lots opening as needed. And per the Wirtz family request, donations in lieu of flowers can be made to Chicago Blackhawks Foundation, the official charity of the franchise.